welcome to episode 25 of Katie's Craft Collective. The blather is about Mr. Happy and all things happy. I have an interview from Craig Macbeth of Macbeth Photography, and he'll tell us about his business in the Crafty Chamber of Commerce. We have the Craft Fairy and the Scottish segment. I've got the news, the hellos, and I'll let you know what the collective have been up to. I'll let you have the links in the show notes that come with the place you download this from, so relax and get the links later. Get your cup of tea, your craft, and I'll tell you what crack is in Caithness this week. Now, I always say get your tea and your craft, and how many of you are actually drinking tea and crafting? I normally don't get to listen when I'm crafting. I'm generally hoovering, cleaning, or out walking. So, I don't know why I say that every week. I think it's just wishful thinking. But, if you are hoovering, cleaning, or doing something you don't really want to do but needs to be done, hang on in there and I'll get you through the next half hour or so, because the blather this week is about Happy.
Now for the blather.
He's round, he has the most enormous smile, he's yellow like the sun. Be prepared to be cheered up wherever you are, whether you like it or not. I give you Mr. Happy this week. So, Sandy, can you tell me about Mr. Happy?
Well, Mummy, yellow, and he's a round circle, and he has a big smile on his face, and he's happy.
Thank you, Sandy. Mr. Happy likes other people to be happy. He goes out of his way to help other Mr. Men get happy by inviting them to his house or going round to theirs and just being so happy that they catch it like a cold and become happy too. It's like that song that Judy Garland sang for the 1950 film Summer Stock. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. The definition of happy from Wikipedia is happiness is a state of mind or feeling characterised by contentment, love, satisfaction, pleasure or joy. A very happy birthday to a special wee boy this week. Happy birthday, Sandy. My wee darling is going to be 5, a whole 5 years old. And I was sitting in hospital cross-stitching a Mr. Men Afghan this time 5 years ago. We were having a party with jelly and ice cream and Star Wars stuff. So happy birthday, my little darling. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. I like to think that over 4,000 people around the world right now are either clapping their hands or twitching as if to clap. If you're not in a position to clap, like you're maybe washing that shower or you're on the tube, then mentally clap and catch up later when you can. Everybody else, get clapping. Now, hands up if you're happy at your work. One or two went up there. Mine did, but it didn't always. In one job I had, I was so unhappy I didn't want to go to work. In fact, it got that bad I didn't want to go to bed, so we didn't have to wake up to go to work. And one of the best things I did was leave that job. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some jobs out there that, well, they don't make you happy because someone really has to clean the toilets or empty the bins and they get paid for it, but it does pay the bills. And I think that if a boring job with good people, then that's okay. If you have a good job with good people, that's brilliant. But if you have a good job with not good people, then that is difficult. If you've had a bad job with bad people, then try and move. Use it as a learning experience. Try spin the positive on the negative and don't stay around and be unhappy, because you do have a choice. It might be difficult, but it has to be better than not wanting to go to bed, not wanting to wake up to go to a job that you hate. I've been there and I've learned that lesson, and I'm much more happier now. The song this week is I Could Be Happy by Altered Images. This is a blast from the past. It's a song from the early 80s, and the lead singer was Claire Grogan. She was in the film Gregory's Girl and later in EastEnders. Here, I wonder if she knits. Hi, Claire. My brother really used to fancy you when he was little. And we had all the records. Happy birthday, see those eyes, etc. And I love the line in the song of I Could Be Happy. Go to sky and my holiday. Yep, they were a Scottish group and it's a right cheery bop around song. So what makes you happy? Is it life? Is it your family? Is it the fact that you've been given that ball of Wendy Fusion that you needed to make your asymmetrical cardigan from your very good friend Naomi, who happened to be there when you bought the other balls, and she actually had a couple of balls in her stash that she has gifted to you in exchange for 2 felty needles? Yes, that's me! Hooray, I was happy. And I think that most of my listeners are happy people. You know how I know that you're all happy? Well, you do some sort of craft. Craft gives us pleasure and that makes us happy. Yes, we sometimes think halfway through the project, why did I start this again? I hate the sight of this. Once it's finished, if you still feel like that, and it's, well, not a present that you're going to give, put it in a drawer for about 2 months, and then get it back out, and you don't hate it anymore. The monotony of the stitching, or the constant looking at that same 2-inch piece that you've ripped back, put back, ripped back, you'll have forgotten that. And you'll look at it again and again, and you'll get compliments from other people, and it'll give you encouragement, and it makes you happy. I did a bit of cross-stitch like this, and a piece of embroidery too. They took forever to finish. I couldn't look at them when I did eventually finish them. And my embroidery teacher said, put it in a drawer and revisit it in 2 months' time. So it lurked. Took them out and enjoyed getting them framed. I enjoyed showing everybody, and I get great pleasure from looking at them on the wall. And I often do see new things in them now and again. And these have been on the walls for years. And I really like the fact that you can go back to something that you made. You know every single stitch in there, but you see new things in it every time, like the way the sunlight touches it and makes that bit of gold sparkle. Or you remember where you were when you bought the beads and who you were with. Hi Aileen, it was you. Now the finishing of knitting makes me happy. The fact that I've planned something, picked out the pattern, matched the wool to the pattern, did my favourite thing, cast on. I love casting on. You maybe learn something new in the techniques of, well, how to put it together or a pattern. I get over the hump of, is this ever going to end? Love the bit casting it off. And maybe put off sewing together for a day. Then you add the finishing touches, of like the handle or the buttons or even a zip. And then the present part of knitting, that makes me happy. I love being able to give someone a handmade gift. And even if they don't truly appreciate the work that went into it, I do like to give it. Just as I do a handmade Christmas card to everyone. I don't mind, it might go to the recycling soon after it, but I've had enough feedback from my friends and relations to know that they do love getting the handmade envelopes through the door, and even look for them too at Christmas time. And my Auntie Nora keeps all her cards, and so did my grandma, unbeknownst to me, and I only found out that she did that after she died. Mind you, my grandma was lovely beyond loveliness, so it wasn't really a surprise. Good friends make you happy to be in their company. When you're going round to visit someone whose company you enjoy, it gives you a nice warm feeling inside. And I will be uber happy on the 4th of March when I head south to stay in Edinburgh and go through to Glasgow Craft Fair on the 5th of March. Mum and I are going on a trip down the road for our birthdays. Hers is a big one with an O at the end. Obviously I can't tell you which one it is because she's a lady. Well, mine's is just a bog standard one. And I will be happy as I get around the craft fair and see wonderful card making ideas and techniques and equipment and maybe purchase quite a lot of it. I get to dive into the Black Sheep stand where they have packs of reasonably nice yarn in slightly weird colours at reasonably good prices, and they're just piled in a big pile on the floor. And I will not be alone in falling into this pile and swimming around. Nick, from Yarns from the Plain, I know you did it because you told us so. I will be happy that I get to go and visit Mander's Fabric and Craft Shop in Glasgow, which is a mandatory experience. I also get to go to Lakeland Shop in Buchanan Galleries and stock up on kitchen items, which is one of my favourite things to do too. I am not so happy that they stopped doing their craft range though. But I will also go and get some new clothes for me, spend a heinous amount of money. Sorry, hubby, I know you're listening. And maybe catch up with a listener or two. And hopefully my pal Aileen and maybe Francis. And hopefully go to Wagamama's for my tea. Now, this may all sound run-of-the-mill to you who live near a city or Glasgow, but as it's about 300 miles away from me, I was last there in July with hubby and he's no good at shopping. So I'll make the most out of it while I can. Oh, and did I mention John Lewis Craft Section? I know they have Rowan Kid Silk Keys. I'm coming to you. Sorry. Right, where was I? Comedians, they make us happy. Have you ever gone to a show, laughed until you pee yourself, or nearly, and then not remember a single joke when you come out? Yes, that's what happens. There's a film called Happy Feet about animated penguins from 2006, and it's got a pretty good cast of the voices, not the penguins. We got it for Christmas, and the Bairns have watched it at least once a day since. And it's got quite a lot of musical numbers in the film with an ecological message in it too. Well, I say that, but I've never actually seen all of it in one go yet. Just the start, just the end, some bits in the middle, and not all at the same time. But if you like penguins, which I do, then it's worth a watch. except if you're Sarah, which she says she can't stand it. Sarah, don't watch it because it'll not make you happy. Right, I asked Sandy what makes him happy and he said playing pirates. That was today. Tomorrow, probably we'll be playing lightsabers. And the day after that, it'll be playing with Grandma. But I think he just likes playing and with his wee friends. Hobby said what makes him happy is when his family are happy. And Quattro said woof, which I translated as rabbits, frisbee, swimming, woofing, digging, and being in front of the fire, eating, being stroked, being a dog. Daisy said chocolate. But really, that's one of her words, chocolate. And I say my family and crafting. And I think the conclusion to the happy blather is try to be happy for yourself. And, well, I keep repeating this. Life is short and you all deserve to be happy. You do, you know. And just try to be, or I'll send Mr. Happy round and he'll take Judy Garland with him. Okay, moving on. Warning, if you need a pee stop, then come back later because it's time for the Daisy laugh. Crafting Chamber of Commerce. Now, I have another interview for you. My old friend from school, Craig Macbeth, now has his own photography business, and I asked him if he would like to be interviewed, and he suggested he record his answers to my questions, very kindly did it, and sent them to me. It will hopefully sound like I was there to ask him, but I wasn't, I just edited it that way. Actually, it probably doesn't, but, well, I'm letting you know.
I think I should just say, before we start, in the interests of transparency, is that Louise is an old school friend of mine from many years ago. Although I realise now that the only reason she was my friend is because I was probably the only boy she knew that I did baking in school for a while. So I think her real friendship was towards my pineapple upside down cake, or I do remember a particularly nice coffee walnut cake, which I think was the main attraction for Louise.
So who are you and what is your business?
Hello there, my name's Craig Macbeth from Macbeth Photography. It's a photography business based in the Scottish Borders, about half an hour south of Edinburgh. Run by myself and my wife Jessica. Mainly run by her, she does all the hard work and she tells me where to be and what time to be there. And I turn up with a camera and take all the glory. I am originally from Caithness, that's how I know Louise. I left Caithness about 20 years ago when I was, I think, maybe 18 or 19 or so. I do still have lots of family still back in Caithness. I need to go back more often, actually, because I don't visit the county enough. But yeah, Macbeth Photography, www.macbethphotography.com.
Why did you start your business?
I think, like many photographers, my business came about from turning a hobby into a career. The previous job I had, the company I worked for went bust, and so I found myself out of work. After about 10 years of sitting at a desk, and I realised then that this was the perfect opportunity for me to do something I would love doing and getting paid for it, as opposed to working for somebody else at a job that I was just going through the motions. Throughout my adult life, I've always been kind of without much direction career-wise. I've done obscure jobs from working offshore on oil rigs to selling computers to, I was even a cinema projectionist for some time, but throughout that, photography has always sort of been a constant sort of side thing that I was always doing for my own enjoyment. So when the opportunity arose, and or I guess when the need arose to make some money after being made redundant, it was a perfect opportunity for me to try and turn a hobby into a business, which so far it's going well, and I'm so glad I did it, and I love doing it.
I can't remember you doing photography at school. How did you know you had this talent, and when?
Photography did start for me in high school. It was thanks to a teacher called Mr. Ingalls, my art teacher. At that point, though, photography was more about being able to go down the street on the pretense of taking photographs and getting out of school, and also having all the fun and shenanigans that you could have in the dark rooms. Yeah, Louise asked, when did I realise if I had a talent for photography? I don't know. It's hard to quantify. Photography is something, it's not like somebody's a great singer and you can tell they've got a great voice, or somebody can drive really quickly around a racetrack. It's photography talent is something which is down to the individual. As long as my couples, as long as my brides and grooms and the families who hire me, as long as they think that I've got a talent which they want, then that's happy for me, and that's really all anyone can ask. So yeah, talented, I don't know.
What's your favourite part of the business?
I'm very lucky that I'm in a business that I enjoy. I think anyone would be, you'd be pretty stupid to start a business doing something you don't enjoy, something that you're passionate about. For me, I think of everything, the most enjoyable part of the business is covering weddings, is turning up in the morning at the bride's house or the hotel where she's getting ready, and capturing the whole day from there right through until the end of the night. There's so much variety in weddings, I think, especially nowadays, that everyone's individual and all the people are individual. And the process that we go through when we meet our bride and groom, we could probably meet them four or five times up until before the wedding day. And so we do sort of become friends. I do become friends with most of the bride and grooms. And so it's nice to be part of their day at the end of the process and see the wedding and hopefully try and capture some of the spirit and the emotion of the day. So yeah, I think covering weddings is definitely the most enjoyable part of my job.
What's your inspiration for your photos and where did it come from?
I think inspiration comes from many, many different places. I think what most photographers will tell you that they spend a lot of their time looking around at things and seeing, oh, that would make a good shot, or watching films, watching TV and paying more attention to the sort of camera work than the dialogue maybe or the storyline. And I think it's impossible not to be influenced, maybe even subconsciously, by some things you see like that. Obviously there's the work of great photographers like Gordon Parks or Martin Parr, Cartier-Bresson, Denton, Griffiths and things like that, and be influenced by the great photographers. But it's important at the same time, I think, to try not to be a carbon copy of someone else, not to aspire to copy someone else's work, but to try and be individual if possible. I think anything in business, you want to differentiate yourself from others, and that's how you're going to more likely be successful. So yeah, I think inspiration comes from everywhere, but I think the most important place to get inspiration from is from the subjects, from the bride and groom themselves, from the couple or from the child or whatever you're photographing. Try and capture some of their character in the photographs. So yeah, I think inspiration comes from many places, but for me the most important thing is to get the inspiration from the subject.
Where do you hope to take your business in the next year or two?
I don't have any great aspirations to grow my business to huge levels. I don't want to be out every single weekend shooting weddings. Family life is obviously going to be far more important than any kind of work that we do. So I think if I can sort of either continue more or less like I'm doing just now, maybe covering 25, 30 weddings a year, and then on top of that some model shoots and some family portraiture work, that'll be fine for me. If I can continue in sort of continuing the same vein I'm in now, then I'm happy doing that, and I'll continue to be happy. More of the same is hopefully what I'll be doing in the next sort of 2 or 3 years.
Who would you like most to take photos of, alive or dead? Obviously they would be alive when you took them, because that's just a bit minging otherwise.
It would be great to be flying around the world photographing film stars and sports stars and the like. But I think for me, the person I'd most like to photograph, it's not somebody famous, it's not like God or Gandhi or Alvin Stardust. I think for me it'd be my mum. My mother died when I was quite young, and I don't have any photographs of her, so it'd be nice for me to have some photographs to show my children, to show her grandchildren, to show Kieran and Esme what their granny was like. And also I think at the same time to show her that I'm doing a job that I enjoy, and hopefully that she will think I'm pretty good at. So yeah, I think if I could photograph anybody alive or dead, it would be my mother.
Best piece of business advice?
The whole business side of the things is not my strong point. I think you'll find that for most people in sort of creative industries, that they tend to put all their effort into the creative side of it, and running the business part either kind of falls by the wayside or it's done by someone else. But what I would say that is, it's crucial now for, I think, any business to embrace modern technology, to social networking. For me, and for, I don't know if it's the same for other businesses, but for a photographer, it just seems to be a crucial way to get business. I've had loads of business through Facebook and the like, from friends of friends, etc., and putting images up on websites and giving wedding images to bride and groom so they can so they can put their photography, put their wedding images online, which would hopefully attract other people and friends and family. So yeah, social networking is crucial. Also, I think organisation is one thing where, because I'm not the most organised person business-wise, I'm very lucky that my wonderful wife, Jessica, that's her strength. So I think if you're like me and you're not the most organised, then one crucial piece of information or advice to give is to if you're not organised, get somebody who is organised. Get a good accountant, get a good bookkeeper, get software that will organise you and force you to be organised, because if you don't, I think any business without organisation is a business without direction. Things are going to go wrong, you're going to lose customer details, etc. So yeah, get organised and embrace modern technology, I think, would be my two most important pieces of advice for anyone who's thinking of starting a business.
And of course, contact details, so where they can find you to book you. Book him, he's good.
If you would like more information on Macbeth Photography and the services that we can provide, then please get in touch. You can visit our website at www.macbethphotography.com or drop us an email on info@macbethphotography.com. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.
Right, thanks very much to Craig for that interview, and you will now know what his business is all about. And he said walnut cake. I can't remember this, but I'm allergic to nuts, so I'm sure he was making that up. Mind you, I don't think I realised until I was 25 when I tried to kill myself with the Brazil nut biscuits. Ah, there you go. It was happy memories, and well, Craig and Jace, I wish you all the best with your business, and long may it continue to be a success. You can tell that Craig enjoys doing the wedding events, just from his tweets and his Facebook and the way his blog is written. It just sounds like he's happy. Have a read of his website. He is very funny. He was funny at school, I have to give him that. Jace obviously was much funnier, but there you go. And even better, if you're getting married soon, please go get him to do the photos. So, the Craft Fairy segment.
Craft Fairy.
A few of you laughed at the Robson Green being the Craft Fairy, and after discussion, we came to the conclusion he might make a better knitting policeman. Away, Geordie lad. I then decided to be a Craft Fairy, and I sent Sandra from Litchfield a lump of Jacob fleece for spinning, and it was a thank you for a suggestion for one of the blethers. And she then sent me back a packet of cotton yarn so I can try this dishcloth thing that lots of people do. Not really in Britain so much, but overseas. I had to get past the whole knitting up something that I'm going to scrub my dishes bit with. And all of you who have already do this knitted dishcloth thing must think that I'm weird for not doing it, but I kind of think it's you. So we're going to meet in the middle and I'm going to try it. But I just don't understand that you're using something that you're knitting up to wash your dishes. Are your dishes not the same dirt that mine are? I mean, don't you have casseroles and curry? Anyway, we'll talk about curry another night. The Craft Fairy must have been listening to me being nice, because then she delivered me, courtesy of Naomi, one ball of Wendy Fusion that I need for my asymmetrical cardigan, as I said earlier. I was over for coffee one morning last week, and I hadn't made it for too long, but it was really lovely. And Naomi can have her basket of wool out on show in her house, unlike myself, who has to have it daisy-proofed. Anyway, I was putting my coat on to leave after being shown some lovely knitting, eating chocolate and honeycomb muffins, oh yum. I share mine with Daisy, don't worry. And I was sitting having a last drool over her knitting basket when I spotted a familiar ball of wool. Then I remembered, of course, Naomi was there when I bought it, and she actually pointed it out in the first place. Yep. So I asked if I could buy a ball of wool from her, and she said, I've got one spare. And bless her soul, she gave me one. So thank you, Naomi, I am very happy about a ball of wool. Then Rachel was a Craft Fairy. I was given a shot of baby surprise jacket pattern by Elizabeth Zimmerman. Well, I've looked this up online and it's a bit awkward to get, and I thought, blech, nah, don't really need it, there's plenty of other ones there. And here's Rachel giving me a shot of this pattern. I hadn't even mentioned it to anyone, I just lusted after it, so thank you, Rachel. And I have a book fairy as well. She's a relation of the Craft Fairy. No relation to Robson Green. I like to think of mine as roundy glasses like Harry Potter. I've started reading a Scottish writer called Stuart McBride, which is so far removed from Harry Potter as not real. He does a series of books about a fictional detective in Aberdeen. I read it, hubby read it, and then passed it to my pal Mo. Remember Super Mo, who climbed to base camp in Everest last year? Well, she's a good reader. and she read it, went to the library and ordered the rest of the series. So between Mo, Hubby and I, we've read all six of his books and eagerly waiting the next one. It's very gory, he's very dark, but very funny, and I would recommend him if you like that sort of thing. Mum, you'll know like it. And sending the warmest of get well wishes to Susan Doll from Knit a Journey podcast. She is doing pretty well, and if you go to her pages on Ravelry, you can send her a get well message on her Caring Journal links. This is a website that is set up to help patients and friends of patients keep in touch by internet. I try and leave her a message every day, just to let her know what I'm thinking of her and sending her some positive thoughts across the Atlantic. Now, whilst we do not forget the patients at all, we mustn't forget those that care for the patient, like Susan's hubby Doug, who has been a star for being the carer. And I've noticed at night time recently that we've had a beautiful crescent moon and a twinkly star above it. And this star I renamed Doug, as he's been a star. And Sandy and I have waved him every night, cloud permitting. And, well, later realised that the star was actually the planet Venus, which doesn't twinkle. But, hey, I am a bit dense sometimes. Also sending some love to LP Star from Roseville, Minnesota, who, as you all know, is twinned with me. Well, she tells us that she has too many of her friends and family that are seriously ill just now. And to Sandra, whose mum is not well either. We do take our health for granted, don't we? And as you know, I love Mumford & Sons, and their song, Timshill, says, "But you are not alone in this, and you are not alone in this. As brothers we will stand, and we'll hold your hand, hold your hand. You have your choices, and these are what make man great, his ladder to the stars." This song will probably make you cry, so I warn you now, and apologies if I've made you cry again, because I'm not very good at not making you cry. But it's a great song to say, "We'll hold your hand, and whilst we can't do anything to stop the illness, we will be there for you." And I wish I could write as well as this, because sometimes it is so difficult to know what to say when you're faced with illness. And I looked it up, and apparently the lyrics are a direct reference from John Steinbeck's East of Eden. Lead singer Marcus is well read and has a lot of his songs directly linked to the classics like Hamlet, Much Ado About Nothing, and The Grapes of Wrath. The Grapes of Wrath is one of my favourite books. Anyway, Susan is on the mend, but each day is a big step for her to take just now, so please send her your support. We send you our love, Susan and Doug. LP Star and Sandra, as brothers we will stand, and we'll hold your hand. Moving on. Hello section. We have been joined by Moldova in the United Nations of Crafting. Right, make yourself known, because we really want to come over there on holiday. And there's about 4,000 of us, so you'll probably need a big room. Hello to Crofter, Chill77, Giffnet Girl, BZ Mom 5, Quilt Bunny, Crochet Treasures, and Catacat, whom have joined the group in Ravelry. I love the chat and your project pages, as ever, and I'm always dancing with the little messages that you get in Ravelry. Does everybody notice that the little message dances back and forward when you open up Ravelry? That's me, I'm Boogaloo Goon. So thank you to Crocheter, that's not how you say it, for a lovely review on iTunes. I checked. My head is so big it will not get out of this house. And hello to new Twitters. Tweet me and I'll say hello and tweet you back. What's the crack section?
What's the crack section?
Drive-by friending. Chill77 has drive-by friended me. I get so much pleasure out of this when somebody does it. It's just sad. But I don't really message a lot of the other podcasters that I speak to. Some of them I Twitter to. Granny Jean never gets me to shut up, but has to be said. And I love Coggy, as you know, I love craft patients. But some of them, I am quite quiet on the group pages, and I appreciate that everybody here in the groups, they're quite a blether, and it's great, because I am a blether. But yeah, I listen to them, say if I'm doing the dishes and the computer's not on, so I forget what I'm going to say, and then by the time I get there, I've completely forgotten. And it's not that I don't appreciate them, so if you're a listener that never writes anything, or doesn't tweet, or doesn't anything, hello. I am speaking to you, in your lug. Don't turn round, but clap your hands, because you're happy. You know you are. Right, where were we? Now, the lovely Ray Daryl has found my problem for me and popping, and I know how to fix it. It was really stupid, but obvious to me when I've pointed it out. So, bear with me, I'll sort it out. Which is kind of weird, because some people say that they can't see it, and other people will say that they can. So who knows with computer speak, you know. But thank you anyway to Ray Daryl for taking me under wing, having a good poke around there and seeing if she can fix it for us. I posted my swap items for the Wizard of Oz Wicked Witch of the West swap. It may take a little time, for the postage itself was £8 or £16, and guess which one I went for. But Darlene Dampart will be receiving two gorgeous skeins of hand-dyed, hand-spun Falkland tops, courtesy of the lovely Angora from Ravelry. Also, six, or eight, I can't quite mind now, of red Rowan wool and DK. And the green was to depict the witch's skin, and the red was for her mouth, which was always quite vividly red for me against the green skin, and also for her love of the ruby slippers. I also put in an umbrella, because the witch needs to be kept dry, otherwise she melts. And I made a card with sparkly red card and lots of witchy stickers, and I explained why I put anything in inside. And of course, I had to make her something, so I had made her some fingerless gloves from the Nora Blossom that I won at Christmas. I put the last of the ball in because I did eventually get to weigh the gloves and the rest of the ball of wool, and there wasn't enough to do a new pair for me. So Darlene Damper crochets, and I'm sure she could make some flowers or something pretty from it. I could have too, but it means extra fun for her to go with her package. I do have a photo for Flickr, but, and I would say tonight, but it wasn't on the little camera, and I don't know where the big camera is. And also, hubby might have downloaded it on the laptop. So there was photos, not sure where. And it was incredibly good fun doing this swap. And it's good knowing that you're going to get something just as nice back. She mentioned Kool-Aid. Ooh. Once again, thank you very much to Angora for her kind gift. I was so in love with the yarn that she sent up, but I did say before she sent it that I was going to send it on. And it was really hard. Sarah was going, that's so lovely, that's green, she loves green. And she said, how can you do this? And I said, I said I would, and I have to. Thank you to Angora for sending me the extra ball that is still looking at me every time I go past it. And I don't know, I think it gives me just as much pleasure to look at wool sometimes as to actually do something with it. It makes me happy. Right, lots of you have entered the Mr. Tickle material competition. Now, thank you, and yes, I am speaking to you all again. Some good answers too. I will announce the winner of both of that and the Mr. Tickle and Mr. Greedy next episode. And I think the next competition that I have will be for some yarn. The Around the World Robin, no more interest, so I think I'll leave it for just now. If there will be more interest in the subject, I will revisit it. Now, you still have a job to do because the 21st of February has not quite come round yet, and it is Baby D for Sarah from Vimto Craft Group, who I mention a lot. You all have to think good thoughts, and she will be listening for them. And yes, I made her cry again when she said that she heard this. I'm really good at making you lot cry. Stop crying. Smile. Come on, be happy. Like Judy Garland said, or I'll send round Mr. Happy. Actually, well, I suppose a birth is a time when you're allowed to cry. So lash out at Sarah, but can you wait until you have the baby? I'm really looking forward to meeting your little baby and seeing that the present fits the baby. Plus, I'll be able to talk about it. And I'll get lots of shoddies and I'll pass him or her back. A shoddy is when you get a cuddle and a play, and then you can hand baby back to mummy. All the very best to Sarah, Al and Oren and the new baby. I can't wait to meet baby and tell all the listeners the good news next episode. Although I'm sure she'll tweet and let you know first. Isn't it nice to have nice news? See? Aren't you all happy? And she still looks wonderful. You do, Sarah. And before we move on, finally, I have a bit more work news. Episode 1 of the Work podcast is now live. I thought it was on iTunes, but I can't find it, so I'll have to go fiddle. Hopefully it should be soon. Now, there are public information days on the 16th and 17th about the Ness of Duncansby site in Caithness Horizons and the Seaview Hotel on John O'Groats. We have taken on a graduate engineer and he's due to start in March, and also a bookkeeper administrator who's going to start March as well. So, busy time. Big up the blog section. Big up the blog section. Please keep putting your blog web addresses onto the thread on the Caithness Craft Ravelry pages. I've had a look at them all, of course, and I will add www.ripplecrafts.com/drop1 to this list. She hails from over the west at Assint and has a shop to sell her hand-dyed yarns. She's just announced that she's getting a stand at Woolfest on Wales 24th and 25th of June, and her photos of life in Assint are wonderful, It's a beautiful place of the world, and well, her wool is lovely. So if you're at Woolfest, make sure you go over and maybe buy something. If not, just dive in. Back to the Scottish segment.
Scottish segment.
So, we've done the Normans, and now the book that I have goes on to talk about the Scottish kings and queens. I was watching Braveheart when I was writing this. It was kind of appropriate. But we're a wee bit before then. So we start with Kenneth MacAlpine, who was King of the Picts and the Scots, and had his proclamation at the Stone of Destiny, which is a block of stone that is said to be the pillow of Jacob when he had the miraculous dream at Bethel. And this was brought to Scotland from Ireland and was kept at Scone in Perthshire, which Kenneth made his chief town, and on Moot Hill he installed the stone. He did transfer the holy relics of St. Columba from Iona to a new church at Dunkeld in Perthshire, but he still maintained a Pictish royal tradition which lasted for another 200 years after he was buried in Iona, and he ruled for 16 years, which is not bad for those days. He was succeeded by his brother Donald. He became Donald I in 859, and there were 14 kings till Malcolm II in 1005. Statistics for them are 9 were killed in battle or murdered by rivals, cheery, and Constantine II lasted for 43 years, but then he abdicated after the family decided that someone else should be given a chance. That was nice of them. Now, I'll have more on Malcolm II in the next episode, because he's a bit complicated. Right, on to myself, me show, because I'm noticing that the time is fair rattling on. Hubby was moaning, he says, I think you should have that shorter, and I'm like, well, I don't know what to cut out, so hopefully people that are sticking with me don't mind it. It's a bit over half an hour, because it is fortnightly, and I just can't quite cut it down. Caithness Quilters. Yeah, this is new, Caithness Quilters. I went along to my first sewing day at Caithness Quilters, and I loved it. There was a sense of community and friendship in that room, and anyone wishing to join a thriving, friendly group would be very welcome. I, of course, know them, most of them already, but they would make you very welcome, so if you were to join. www.caithnessquilters.co.uk If you want further information on their meetings and workshops. Of course, I got to sit beside my mum, who is the current treasurer. And it was good for a mummy and daughter bonding day. I took along my peapod quilt to carry on putting on the binding, and it was wonderful just to turn to my left and say, Mum, how do I turn the corner again? Do you have a pair of scissors? Do you want a cup of coffee? Etc. And do you know what? You know how we've got the knitting police, Robson Green? Well, we're going to need somebody as a sidekick, because I have to inform you that there is sewing police. I was sitting quietly, just started trimming along the seam, when Detective Sergeant, my mum, and Detective Inspector Juliana appeared from nowhere. And I mean, they were not there 0.3 of a second beforehand, and they were shouting, Stop! What are you doing? They, of course, were correct and stopped me making a big mistake. Then later, when I was trying to join the seams together, now, Helen had kindly told me how to do this at Textile Artist, but I didn't quite understand, so I kind of left it, and when I was picking at it, and Mum was trying to sort it out. Helen is the chief inspector of the sewing police, and she appeared at 0.2 of a second to sort me out for the joining of the binding. What are you doing? But thank you to all the sewing police. And I now understand what to do. Quilters are held in the church hall, and we were told that there was a wedding on at 1 and we had to be quiet whilst this was on. They weren't quiet. It also meant that there were pretty flowers in the church, which we all went in and had a google at. I joked that we could go and peek through the door, and if the bride's dress was full and nice material, she had quite a lot of it, we could just take a pair of scissors through. She'd never notice a big chunk taken off for us to make pretty things from. Don't worry, we never did. I never even seen the bride. I saw the bridesmaids and they were bonny. But I did find it a bit weird with all the noise of a room full of quilting wifeys, because I'm quite used to crafting by myself with my MP3 player on for company, and I did find it noisy, but very nice. And I'm looking forward to the next sewing day and maybe a workshop or two this year. Textile artists. Dorothy surpassed herself yet again. She has made another felted picture, and this time it was of my very good friend, the Old Man of Hoy. It's not actually a man. It's a sea stack off the island of Hoy in Orkney. And I can see it from a house, and my husband loves it because he's climbed it and stood on top of it. And it again looks like Dorothy has painted it on. It's wonderful. Really does look wonderful. And the way she, this is what you're doing, she says, oh, I don't know, it hasn't spoken to me yet. So for crying out loud when she came back with it. Ella finished her wonderful dinosaur quilt, with, complete with two Loch Ness monsters, to give her to her grandson in Australia. Brisbane, no less, but they are on high ground, so don't panic. We're still thinking about you, Australia, and I did ask the natural disaster weather gods to stop annoying you, but so far, I'm sorry, they've not listened to me. Valerie was there for a bit of a catch-up, and she's the Linus Quilt Org coordinator, so she was doing some organisation of that. Shirley has started a new project, which is very interesting. She decided to do a material scrapbook. She has transferred some old photos of her family onto material using bubble jet transfer liquid. And this is where you soak your material in this bubble jet transfer liquid. You then take it out and you let it dry. Then you put freezer paper on the back of it and put it through your printer. And it keeps the image onto the material. Can you remember my Evelyn Ramsey workshop? Well, that's what it was. So Shirley is doing this wonderful book on her photos and memories were all making us smile. And I didn't manage spinning because husband was doing Coast Guard training, but I did pop in with the bairns to hand back a magazine and get out of the house. And I was quite scunner because there was oodles of them and the blathering they were doing was lovely. And I wondered what the collective noun for spinners was. And this was on Twitter. So we came up with quite a few. A hackle, which Granny G decided would be better as a heckle. And that's me and her sitting up the back of the class, being told off by the teachers. A hand spun, a draft, a wheel, a braid, a knot, or a spoof. I'm not exactly sure what a spoof is. I'm hoping, hopefully it's not rude, but I think it's a Scottish word for a room full of blathering wifies. Right. And on to Vimto Craft Group. Now, I have a lovely craft group, and it kind of only started up because a group of mothers all seemed to be in the same sort of things. And one night I suggested that we had a craft night and Sarah agreed. And if you're thinking, well, that's not hard, then do the same thing. Meet at someone's house and don't be too formal and see how it goes. Melanie Money. That was a subliminal message for her, because she's done one, but she needs to do another one. Oaks come from acorns, and so to speak. Now, Martine of iMake has talked about this in episode 14 of her podcast, and I would recommend that if you're thinking of starting a craft group yourself, she's got some really good tips in there. I am, as usual, much less formal, but it's to suit my circumstances. So this brings me on to the latest Vimto night. We met at Jenny's, and she is such a lovely hostess, so thank you, Jenny. We were dyeing wool with the cochineal dye that Sarah's sister had brought us back from Peru. And I kind of expected to see little bits of beetles in the packs of dye, but no, they were just powders. I don't know why I was hoping that they'd be there, knocking at the packet, trying to get out. Sorry, I was being a bit sick. Anyway, Caroline had the knowledge of what mordant we needed to fix the dye to the wool, and she understood about the science behind it. And you could literally see my brain shut down for when she talked about the science part. It's like physics. I was trying to think about how wind worked the other day, and for some reason or other, my brain just went into Homer Simpson mode and went, la, 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 donuts. Anyway, Caroline in charge of the mordant, making sure that our skeins were tied in hanks, and thanks to Vicky, our youngest member, who helped do the winging of hanks. In the pot, we had Barbie pink, cerise pink, and you can see from space, purple. And we actually thought this was a green in the bag, but it turned out it was purple that you can see from space. Then Sarah and I wanted some yarn hand painted, so out came the cat litter tray, and I put cling film at the bottom, and I think this is called sarin wrap stateside. We call it, can't get it off the roll, and then when you do, it won't cut straight, cling film wrap. So when the wet mordant wool goes into it, Sarah's was in a spiral and mine was in two rows. So we made up some wee pots of dye and syringed it on, and there was much hilarity doing this and syringe jokes. And well, it was really good cracking. Still think about us laughing and laughing and laughing. Then the wools came out of the pot and my yarn was coloured ready to microwave. And I took Sarah's home and microwaved both of them, then rinsed them and dried them. Her yarn slightly felted, but not badly enough that it won't be separated by strand. Oops, I think that might be my fault. And the photos are on my, or will be on my Flickr, and will eventually make it to Ravelry Stash. And my skein was hand-spun merino by me. And I'd say it was kind of like a worsted weight, a bit thicker than DK, but not as thick as chunky. And it came out autumnal colours and absolutely fantastic. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it, but I know it's going to be for me, but Carlene said we could sell it. No! Maybe if I hadn't spun it. But no, it's for me, and I'm not just hand-spinning it, hand-painting it to sell it. Although, I do see now how hand-spun, hand-painted is so expensive. The time and even just the materials make it. Now, I have been knitting, but I can't tell you about this until after Sarah's baby announcement. And I have been spinning a fair bit and have enough brown Jacob to make the hat that for hubby, and I have to start on the cream very soon. And I'm still at the sewing of the binding of the peapod quilt, and also my sampler handbag that I'd made from the North Rollsea yarn is still sitting waiting on being lined with material. And I was thinking, oh, well, I'll take it down to Glasgow and see what handles and some material that'll go with it, because there's none of the stash that I had was really saying, use me, use me. So I was in Elizabeth's wool shop the other day getting stuff for our Sarah, and I spotted in the... We're going to chuck this out, but if you want to put a donation to Thurso and Bloom box that they had, and they put loads of little wee samples and bits of material that are cut a bit bizarre. Most of these were about 10 centimetres square. You know, there's nothing that you can really do to sail with. So they're quite good that they donate them. And there was a good handful here, and I put them against the handbag when I got home, and they look very pretty. I also got some foam, which I'm going to use for needle felting, and hand some on to Joanna's mum, because she started doing it too. That's what I'm going to do, and that's me. So, thank you very much for listening. I really do appreciate it. If you want to contact me, please do so on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt, or Stitching Fingers as Louise Hunt, or Caithness Craft Collective at gmail.com, or leave a comment on the Podbean webpage. You can get me on iTunes or www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and on Twitter as Caithness Craft. All the links are in the show notes, so go there and click anything you want more information on. This week, the music is Caledonia by Caledon X from www.musicalley.com. Thank you to them. Cheers for listening. Keep on crafting.